Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. Canada's Bill C-18 has passed into law requiring compensation deals to be struck between tech companies and news organizations if they want to host links to Canadian news content. The bill requires tech companies to compensate Canadian news organizations when their content appears on their platforms. The federal government says the bill is to help the Canadian news industry, which has seen falling subscriptions and ad revenue over time as those profits shift to Google and Facebook. The majority of Canadians do not pay for any online news subscriptions, and Canadians under the age of 64 usually check social media sites such as Facebook and Reddit first to get their news. The Parliamentary Budget Officer, which provides economic and financial analysis to the government as an independent body, estimates that the bill would shift around $329 million to the Canadian news industry. The Online News Act, or Bill C-18, will come into effect no later than 180 days after it received royal assent on June 22nd of this year. Both Google and Meta, the company behind Facebook and Instagram, have stated that they'll be removing links to Canadian news from their platforms in response to the law before the end of the year. Google has called the bill a, quote, link tax, saying that it breaks the way that the web and search engines have worked for more than 30 years. Today, I'm speaking to Executive Director of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Alex Friedman. And stay tuned to CICK News for more localized news on this. But first, I wanted to share this conversation that I had with Alex, sweeping and explaining Bill C-18 and how Canadian news media outlets are affected as of today. Okay, thanks so much for speaking with me, Alex. Can you help our listeners to understand Bill C-18?
Sure. So it's part of a couple of important bills that were introduced by, well, now previous Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez. But this has been part of the government agenda for some time. And the reality is that the Broadcasting Act and the rules that govern the broadcasting system haven't changed in more than 30 years. And, you know, put into perspective, you know, they just really invented the smartphone 30 years ago. I think we were all still playing like ColecoVision at the time. I mean, it's a long time ago, you know? And so because really the broadcasting world has changed so much, they did a couple of important things. One, C-11, which we're not going to talk about so much today, but it is important because this was the one that went first, updated the Broadcasting Act to say mm-hmm. that, like commercial broadcasters who, for the longest time, because they profit off of Canadians and don't really invest in Canadian voice, have to then allocate a portion of their earnings, what they get as a result of broadcasting to a Canadian audience, to support the Canadian broadcasting system. And that, well, was, until recently, the more controversial piece of legislation. Now, C-18 also says a similar thing. It says, you know, dear internet broadcasters, and particularly in this case, we're really just talking about Google and Meta or Facebook because of the scope of their operations and how much they benefit from Canadian news content. But it says, look, you for so long, because, you know, as we say in communications, content is king. So you've benefited for so long from the content provided by Canadian news outlets. And not to say that Canadian news outlets don't also benefit from being rebroadcast on Facebook and Google, but Facebook and Google have built a massive financial model on the ability to create conversations around the news that we Canadian journalists generate. Mm-hmm. And so because, dear Facebook and Google, you've made such a fortune off of this, it's only right that you reinvest a small portion of what you've made off of this into the Canadian journalism system. And so that's what C-18 is. It's a piece of legislation that says that because of the scope of what they've been able to earn, that they should reinvest in those news outlets whose content has been used by Google and Facebook, and also who've been impacted by the fact that Google and Facebook take up so much advertising in the advertising market. And so that's essentially what C-18 is.
Okay, thanks so much for that. It's nice to hear it explained with also the pieces, like not only the pieces of legislation involved, but also just an understanding of sort of both sides and how this came to be. And that this obviously is, like you mentioned, we're in such a new media, we're in such a new landscape for media now that working with companies and new systems for publication are just changing so fast. So legislation kind of is always going to take a little bit of time to keep up with it.
Absolutely. And you know, for what it's worth, both of these pieces of legislation went through the House and the Senate at a snail's pace relative to other pieces of legislation. I mean, there was a lot of analysis done on this. There was a lot of studying done on this. And there was a lot of testimony heard about both of these pieces of legislation. So it's not as though they went through kind of willy-nilly. And both pieces of legislation had the support of the NDP, the Liberals, the Bloc, and the Green Party. It was really only the Conservative Party that spoke out against these pieces of legislation.
Mm-hmm. And the Department of Canadian Heritage, they've also said that they'll draft like regulations specifying the application of Bill C-18 and provide guidance on implementing it. Do we know at all what these regulations will be?
No, and the way Heritage worked under Minister Rodriguez, and this changes from minister to minister, by the way, but the way Heritage worked under Minister Rodriguez is once a bill received royal assent, so went through first, second, and third reading, Senate, House, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then got the approval to become law. At that point, the government then puts out a series of what they call policy direction. And this says, dear, in this case, CRTC, or dear regulator, now that we've passed this legislation, here's what I, as minister, expect you to do with it. So we've seen the policy direction for C-11. That's open for 45 days of public consultation, but we've not yet seen the policy direction for C-18. Interesting, because of the cabinet shuffle, the very, very recent cabinet shuffle, we will now have a new Heritage Minister, Pascal Saint-Onge, who will have the duty to direct the regulators around what C-18 and how it should be applied. But this is a very prescriptive piece of legislation, and the legislation itself doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room for interpretation. So it's pretty clear what they're supposed to do with it.
Mm-hmm. And now, kind of knowing that the end user being the listener and the reader, that they are going to be the people that really do rely on things like social media, Facebook and Google, and website traffic is not the same as finding something in a feed that you're already, it's just coming at you at the pace that Facebook does. So are Canadian news outlets involved in talks about what solutions that Meta in a statement released said that they're looking at as a way to build an effective product solution? Do you feel that Canadian news outlets are involved in these talks about what these solutions might look like?
Some are. We know that well before C-18 was passed, Meta and Google reached agreements with some of the major newspapers, i.e. the Torstar Group. I'm sure we know they reached an agreement with the Globe and Mail, with Post Media. And so they've gone to, and this is same as happened in Australia, because this legislation was modeled on a piece of legislation that was originally passed in Australia. They have made deals and agreements with the major broadcasters. And while I'm not in the room for them, one presumes that those broadcasters are also part of the conversation right now about how it will be applied. Throughout the course of this, we worked hard to ensure that the way it works is basically once the government is satisfied that the Google and Facebook have reached agreements with enough broadcasters and media outlets that it's essentially the majority. And that number is not prescribed. We don't know clearly what the majority looks like. But once they've made a deal with enough broadcasters, they will then get what's called an exemption order. In other words, they will then be allowed to carry on doing their business and they will be seen as in compliance with the law. So they will have had conversations with those outlets, I presume, with whom they have already reached agreements. We at the Community Radio Fund and with the associations that legislate or that work with the majority of the community radio stations, we've not yet had a sit down with them. We're hoping to sit down with them to try and help them draft a policy that would benefit them and the broadcasters, but we've not yet had that conversation.
Smaller news outlets like us, like, is there a timeline? Do we know when I'm going to call it the hammer is going to drop?
We don't. There's a lot of mystery around when that impact will be felt. We do know that some community radio stations have already felt the hammer. It's not hard to figure out who's a licensed community radio station, campus radio station, Indigenous radio station in Canada. But no, we don't know when it will fully come into effect. The law itself is not entirely in effect until the CRTC does its consultation. We'd always assume that, you know, that they would wait until the law functionally went into effect before applying these measures. But I've seen on my own Facebook feed saying they've already done it to a number of outlets. And I've seen outlets complain that their stories have already been blocked again on social media. So yeah. I can't give you a timeline for this. I think it's, you know, in Australia, they did this. And then there was a significant pushback, public pushback. And they did ultimately largely reverse the decision to do it. So I don't know if this is a bluff, if this is a positioning, you know, standpoint or something. It's hard to say what's going to happen. And certainly none of us have a roadmap for how long they're going to take to fully implement their boycott or whatever you want to call it. But again, for the sake of democracy, we hope that they don't actually follow through with this and that we are all able to sit down and come up with a good solution. Of course, we've seen major media outlets now back out in terms of their advertising on Google and Facebook. We've also seen the federal government. The federal government invested millions and millions and millions of dollars in Facebook and Google, all the while saying they wanted to make sure that Google and Facebook were paying for what they were, you know, what they were taking out of the Canadian economy. Yep. And so there was a certain irony there. They now have done this. And we're also seeing a number of municipalities have votes around whether or not they too should pull their Facebook and Google advertising. And I'll just touch on this one important point that, you know, if municipalities go down that road, it's not about the sum total of the dollar figure they withdraw from Google and Facebook, in so much as it's a message that says, you know, we value local journalism. And to that extent, we will stop advertising on you if you are going to use local journalism as a pawn in your bid for profits. And so this is a really important message. But, you know, it is important that those who do currently advertise on Google and Facebook and who believe in Canadian journalism make a stand now and say that this is just not an acceptable solution. You know, we've seen their advertisement on Facebook saying, well, in order to be compliant with the law, we've got to do this. Well, that's not true. They could also pay their fair share and stay compliant with the law. You know, it's not a one-sided conversation. And we do hope that, as I say, we can work together with them to come to a good solution for them.
Absolutely. And I mean, to be frank too, it's any angle that you look at this, it's not an easy black and white answer of what's the correct thing to do or not, because even if councils are speaking about standing up for local journalism, you know, as a local journalist, of course, I appreciate that and I'm on that side. However, knowing that Facebook and Google are a way that people get very important and up-to-date information, especially now with Twitter being a paid service, I feel, you know, you feel so torn in this. And so, yeah, it's definitely a very pivotal time to be listening and having these conversations. And I think that's why I really appreciate you taking the time, especially on vacation, to speak with me today.
Well, what I would say to that last point, and I think it's a really good one, right? We do have to have balance. But if we are going to rely on social media for our information, we need to know that the voices of professional journalists are part of that information ecosystem and not just the cheapest available.
Thanks again for tuning in to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at skeenastrong.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks again to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters. I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.